Take your Bible, if you would. Find 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Eddie Tang, just stay standing just a minute, right? You guys know Eddie, his wife Samantha. Eddie is in the United States Air Force, and he is stationed overseas. And I won't tell you where he is stationed because I don't want you to freak out. But he got a week to come home and see his wife and his baby and his family. He's been serving our country in the United States military. Welcome Eddie back tonight, would you? And you were here Sunday, and I saw you, but I just didn't get opportunity to say anything. I sure wanted to. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 will be our text tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And we have been in this book and in this chapter a long time. And we're enjoying it. We're taking our time. That's one of the blessings of a Wednesday night Bible study, is you just kind of take your time and make your way through the Word and let God do His work in our hearts and in our lives. And so we've been in the conclusion of this book, and I do believe we'll be at least one more Wednesday night in chapter number 5. As Paul is just giving some final thoughts, some short statements of truth, some encouragement to this church to keep it going, to keep it healthy, to keep it spiritual, to keep it where it needs to be. And he's given some instruction about the church's responsibility to make sure that it is at peace among itself. He's given some instruction to the spiritual leadership to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do. And we've been making our way through that. And I won't rehash all that I have done. You can get those messages if you want them online. But last week, we concentrated solely on verse number 19. And the Apostle Paul talked about the responsibility of the church corporately and the individual believer not to quench the Holy Spirit of God, not quench not the Spirit. We talked about that word quenching being the idea of putting out, to put out a fire. Actually, at the root of that word is the word asbestos. You understand that was a fire quenching material that they used to use. Of course, they found out it was dangerous now and harmful and hurt a lot of folks. But the Apostle Paul, he knew that this church was being on fire for the Lord. The Spirit of God was moving in the church. Their afflictions had not shaken them away from their faith, had not shaken them to disgruntledness within the body. And yet Paul did not want them to put out what the Holy Spirit of God was doing. Sometimes we know what this is. We can look at churches and say they were at one time on fire for the Lord. Sometimes you can even look at individuals and say, hey, that person used to be on fire for the Lord. Sometimes you can even look at your own life and say, boy, there was a time when I was on fire for the Lord. What happened there? Probably, in some way, shape, or form, you, that person, or the church quenched the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God doesn't stop working. He's continually working in our lives day by day, filling us, guiding us into all truth, comforting us, directing us, and those things. But we talked about the Holy Spirit being a person, and there are three responses that can have. Some people resist the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, if you resist the Holy Spirit of God long enough, you can quench His voice. You can quench His working. I've seen sometimes where the Holy Spirit of God speaks to somebody about their soul and speaks to them about their soul, and they just keep saying no, 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 no. And eventually, the Holy Spirit of God just kind of stops that. They've resisted Him. Not that they could not, if they humbled themselves, be saved, but they can actually quench the voice. You can even do that as a believer. As the Spirit of God moves on you, gives you opportunities, if you don't humble yourself there, after a while, you'll find that that voice is not as strong. It gets quenched a little bit. The second word before the quenching happened was the word grieving. And I took you to the book of Ephesians. That word grieve is a love word, actually. It can only happen to somebody who loves you. Of course, the Holy Spirit of God loves us. He works in our lives. And we talked about in Ephesians those things that grieve the Holy Spirit. And eventually, as the Holy Spirit, if we grieve Him in our lives, then eventually there's a quenching that happens. I don't know about you, But I don't ever want to quench the Spirit in my life. If that's you, would you say amen? I need the Spirit of God. And I was even thinking about this in my own life personally as I was meditating the scripture and having my devotions and thinking about the Lord. I told the Lord, Lord, I want the fire of the Spirit of God to burn on my life. And you know, the devil presents all kinds of opportunities. Your own mind presents all kinds of opportunities. And if you're not careful, you get distracted very easily. Sometimes you can put out what the Spirit of God is doing. Praise the Lord that fire can be relit through a humbling process. So that's what we concentrated on tonight. I want to concentrate on verse 20, 21, and 22. There are three truths there, and I have entitled tonight's lesson, Be the Adult in the Church. Sometimes you hear the phrase used, somebody's got to be the adult in the room, right? And you understand what that means. The Apostle Paul here is finishing up his challenge to the church, and I really do think he's concentrating on them being the adult in the church. And he gives three directives here. Verse number 20, despise not prophesyings. Verse number 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of what? Evil. Okay, so he's honing in on his conclusion. He's given them all of these directions. And now he's kind of letting them know that there's a responsibility and a seriousness that they need to develop here. Prophesyings. What are prophesyings? When the Apostle Paul was talking about this, this was a gift that was given during the apostolic age of the church. Prophesying was when the Spirit of God would give direct revelation or illumination to somebody to communicate the Word of God. All right, I need you to hear that, because if not, you can get a little bit deceived in where you are, especially in our culture today. During the apostolic age of the church, when the church was first founded and begun, there were things called sign gifts. Tongues would have been one of those. Prophesyings would have been one of those. You find those listed in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Especially do you find that in verse number 8. He says, prophecies, they shall fail. Tongues, they shall cease. And knowledge, it shall vanish away. And so if you remember, when the church age first started there after Pentecost, true or false, the New Testament was written. False, right? They had the Old Testament, but they did not have the New Testament. Much of the New Testament was not written until after the Lord Jesus was crucified. Much of it was written AD 30, AD 40, all the way to AD 90, right? So the way that the apostles would preach or prophesy or communicate to the church was through direct revelation of the Spirit of God and through that illumination of the Holy Spirit. That was an evidence that you were a true apostle. Now, that gift of prophecy was temporary. For example, this may cut against your grain a little bit, but let's just make sure we understand. Are there apostles today? No. No. I did that so you didn't say yes. Okay? No. But we have apostles everywhere today by title. Turn the television on, go to certain churches, and you'll see apostle so-and-so and apostle so-and-so. No, there's no apostles today. Why? Two things had to be true about an apostle. Number one, you had to see the resurrected Lord Jesus in person. Number two, you had to receive direct revelation or illumination from the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we know that that no longer happens because we have the full canon of Scripture. Amen? Right? So sometimes they find books like the Book of Enoch, or they find these other books and they want to say, well, these books should be in the scripture. No, my friend, we have all the scripture that God gave as scripture. We have the complete canon of 66 books in the Bible, right? So if somebody comes to me and says that they have a direct revelation from God, I have two things to say to them. Number one, it better be in the Bible. Okay? And if it's in the Bible, I don't need your direct revelation. I already have it. Right? Makes sense. Number two, if somebody comes and says, I have direct revelation that's new to the Bible, I don't want it. Because I know I have the complete, inspired, inerrant, full Word of God. Amen? Okay, so prophesying was the way that the Word was communicated before the Word was written down. Now you can imagine how this gift kind of went astray and could be coveted in an improper way because it was so supernatural. Same way with tongues. And so people would literally watch somebody stand up and speak a language they do not know, communicating to others, or they would stand up and speak with the Holy Spirit power and give direct revelation. Well, you could imagine somebody listening to that, if their heart wasn't pure, they would want that ability as well. That's why Paul said, covet earnestly the best gifts. So what was happening was there were people that were coming in and they would be false prophesiers and they would just make up things or they would present a false doctrine. And this really was a battle in the early church to try to figure out who was the true prophet and who was not a true prophet. And then when you add to that glory, or you add to that elevation as to the gift, then you can see how it created such a stir. So the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonians, he says, now fellas and ladies, brothers and sisters, don't despise prophesying. Which meant when there was somebody that did give the word of God, it was to be revered, it was to be listened to, it was to be honored, it was to be respected, and it was to be obeyed. Now today, we don't have prophesying, we have preaching. Okay? Right. So I don't preach to you direct revelation that I've received from the Holy Spirit, but I do preach to you the directly revealed word of God as it's been preserved for us. Okay, so you understand that. And I don't receive weird spiritual illumination, but I do pray, and the Holy Spirit of God illumines the scriptures to us. You're Wednesday night people, so I know that you love preaching, right? I love preaching. And I love preaching when I do it. I love preaching when you do it. I love to listen to preaching. I think saved people should love preaching. And I want you to, maybe not now, but when you go home tonight, I want you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want you to read verses 17 to 24 and kind of study that about how God uses preaching, how God chose preaching. So it's my intention to be the pastor of Plantation Baptist Church my whole life. However, if God's intention is different, then God's intention is different. But if you bring somebody in here after me, or somebody in after them, or somebody after them, whoever you bring in to pastor this church, you make sure he preaches this book, okay? And he doesn't just share or tell or have a talk. He preaches. He heralds the word of God. So the Apostle Paul says, I don't want you to despise these things. Now, one thing that is evident in the despising of prophecy, and one thing I'm always careful about, is people who are never in preaching make me spiritually nervous. I'm going to say that again. People who are never under preaching, they make me spiritually nervous. So even in our church, I'm always watching for the person that never comes inside the auditorium. They're always in the nursery, or they're always outside, or they're always in the kitchen eating our food, drinking our coffee. It's like they come in, they're here, but they're not in here. I'm constantly looking. Now, We have places of service, and we have those type of things. But I try not to let anybody have a place of service in the church that takes them out from the preaching. Why? Because we all need preaching, okay? And we need to hear the word of God. So Paul's telling them, don't despise, don't reject, don't shun the prophesying. You need that. Later he would write in a different book, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. He talks about to the Corinthians how God chose preaching and put an anointing on that. And this preaching is what helps keep a church centered. Bible preaching keeps us focused. It keeps us clean. And it's not to be despised. It's to be regarded in that manner. Number two, along the same thing, he says here, now prove all things. So think about this. They didn't have necessarily the word of God to refer to when they were proving or testing all things. In the context, he's talking about this prophesying. So don't despise prophesying. Prove prophesying or test prophesying. And when you prove it and you test it, hold fast that which is good. Now, here is where God's people need to be the adults in the room, okay? And this is the thought process I have there. Just because something is said to be spiritual doesn't make it spiritual. And this is what people, it blows my mind, how people just receive something that's entitled or presented spiritual to be spiritual. As a born-again child of God, as a mature believer and a lover in the Word of God, it is your personal responsibility to test or prove what you hear, even from your pastor. And I'll say a little bit more about a pastor. I don't expect you to take everything I say just because I say it. I do expect you to take everything that the Bible says, okay? So the Bereans, they search the Scriptures. So as part of this responsibility that Paul wanted this church to do is he didn't want them to be confused anymore with false doctrine. Remember, they were teaching them about the wrath of God. They were teaching them that the Christians were going to have to suffer that way, and false doctrine had got in there. Paul says, now, just because somebody comes in here and says that they're prophesying the word of God doesn't mean they're prophesying the word of God. You have to test it and you have to prove it. How what would that look like? Pastor, if I was going to test or prove something spiritually, what would I prove it against? So get an answer in your mind and we'll see if we connect here. If I asked you to give me three ways that you would prove or test preaching or something you heard spiritually, how would you do that? Just kind of get your three answers in there. All right. So let's go first here to 1 John chapter 4. Let me show you what the Bible says and maybe write some of these things down as ways that I prove all things or I test all things. John writes in his epistle of 1 John chapter 4, Beloved, are you there, verse number 1? Okay. Beloved, believe every spirit. Does your Bible say that? No, it better not. So the word I left out was a little word what? Not. But beloved, believe not every spirit, but try, same word as prove or test, the spirits, whether they are of God. By the way, if they're not of God, then they would be of who? Satan himself, right? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So even in the Bible days, they had the problem we're having today. People were not being adultish about testing or proving what they hear. So just because it comes from an educated man or a degreed man or a pastoral man or it comes from a radio program, didn't have radio in the Bible, but however they got it, whether it comes that way, we just kind of soak those things in. He said, hereby know ye, verse number 2, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. All right? So how do I test things? Number one, I test them according to the belief of, is Jesus Christ God? If I hear anything spiritual that denies the deity of Jesus, we know that to be a false prophet. Right? Okay. So my meter is there. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Okay, so he's letting us know that there is a spirit of Antichrist. Not every spirit can be trusted, and so we need to prove them. So write a couple things down that I've given you, that I'm going to give you. When proving all things, first off, I prove them to the deity of Jesus Christ. Second, the holiness of God. A lot of what we hear to be spiritual denies the holiness of God. I think another way that you prove that is by the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Is what I am hearing fitting the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection. The reason for the gospel. The salvation that the gospel brings. Number four, the Spirit of God. I prove those things by the Spirit of God that is within me. For example, if your spiritual spidey sense goes off, there's probably a reason it went off. And that's why you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. The Holy Spirit of God is the illuminator of Scripture. He is the guider of all truth. So if a person is earnestly desiring to know what the Spirit of God desires or says, earnestly following the Word of God, when I hear something that is spiritual, it should find truth lodging within me. It's kind of like, you ever met somebody and you don't know them very well, but you know they're a Christian because your spirit kind of bears witness with them? You ever had that experience? You're like, man, there's just, that guy's got to be a Christian. My spirit just bears witness with them. Same thing when it comes to spiritual truths. So not everything that comes out of somebody's mouth just because it's spiritual is right. The last thing I want you to do is, I do think you can prove some of that, test it, by your church and your pastor. Now, I'm careful here. I'm very careful here. But if you hear something spiritual that goes against what your church believes or how your pastor preaches, that ought to immediately bring a red flag to you. Now, don't just assume the pastor's right. It brings a red flag to you. Okay, what I'm hearing here, I know our church doesn't believe that, and I know Pastor Hunter would never preach that. By the way, have you ever thought that Pastor Hunter would never preach something? I hope you have. That means you trust me with the Word of God. So I don't think Pastor would preach it that way, and I don't think our church believes it that way. I'm not sure what to do. You know what? Let me call Pastor. Amen. And come in and sit down and say, or call a deacon, or call a Sunday school teacher, or call somebody and say, I heard this. It doesn't ring true to me. How does this measure with the Word of God? And then that spiritual leader in the church ought to be able to take the Bible and show you how the Bible goes. But we're living in an age now where people trust all churches, they trust all spiritual leaders, they trust all spiritual radio, all spiritual television, and so they just receive what comes out, and much of that goes against the Word of God. We are responsible to prove all things. Amen. Then you hold fast to that which is good. You cling to that which is good. Sometimes I hear people say spiritual things, and it's maybe not the time or whatever. And I'm thinking, boy, I got to go revisit on them because what they're saying is not true. Second thing, be careful not to say amen or Godspeed in that matter. If you hear somebody say something that's not biblically right, but they mean it to be spiritual, don't say amen to that. If you know not to say amen to that, what you need to say is, I'm not sure what the Bible says about that. But there needs to be a responsibility, not just on my part, but on your part as well. That keeps us together. Number three, and we're almost done. Abstain from all appearance of evil. It's a fascinating verse here, right? So think about it within its context. Paul's saying, now don't despise prophesying. You need prophesying. I know there are false prophesiers out there, but this is the way the word of God is communicated. Now, when you hear it, you need to prove it. It ought to be in accordance with the deity of the Lord Jesus. It ought to be in accordance with the holiness of God. It ought to be in accordance with Scripture. It ought to be in accordance with the gospel. It ought to be in accordance with what maybe other believers are there. And if that's not the case, then don't receive it. Now, at the same time, abstain from all appearance of evil. In the immediate context, he's probably talking about, make sure that you're following the right person. So if you got somebody over here that's a false teacher or a false prophesier, you would never want to give an appearance that you're following that. You would never want to give an appearance that you're believing that or you're directing that. That would probably be the immediate context of this verse. The broader scope of that, really and truthfully, carries with it the idea of our testimonies. So just think about this, right? Pastor could stand up here and I could say from the scripture, a believer is not to do this. 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 And a believer is not to do this. And a believer is not to do this. That's one thing. But the Bible says we're not even supposed to give the appearance of evil. Wow. Appearance of evil. Well, Pastor, it's not my fault if they think that about me. If you give an appearance that causes somebody to think that somehow sinfulness is happening or evil is happening, the Bible would tell us as believers that we are so to regard our testimony that we don't even give that appearance. Okay, so now, we're Christians, right? We're also Americans. Ain't nobody telling me what to do, right? So what do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, appearance of evil. You mean I can't go here? You mean I can't do this? You mean I can't? I don't know what that means. I just know this. You're responsible for your appearance or for your testimony. And for how others look at you, and then how others look at you or determine that, how they interpret that with the Lord Jesus. And I don't know about you. I do know about you. This is your heart and mind. We would never want to do anything that would give the Lord a black eye, right? Most people would never cross that sinful line if they would live by the principle, I don't even want to give an appearance of evil. So just think about your day today. Where'd you go today? What'd you do today? If people were to have followed you around today, everywhere, everything that you did, would there be, if a fellow brother or a fellow sister saw you, would it be okay? Praise God, I did good today. Yesterday would have been horrible, but he didn't ask about yesterday. He just asked about today, right? But you get the picture. You get the picture? I live according to this verse. I feel like I try to live according to this verse. So I told you I'd give you a little illustration one time. My dad lived according to this verse. Do you remember when IBC root beer came out? Does anybody know what IBC root beer is? I love IBC root beer, right? When they made IBC root beer, they made it in a bottle that was dark and looked like a bottle of regular beer. Of course they did. When I was 12, that's what I thought. I was drinking a beer, you know. That's what I was pretending to do. Until my dad found my IBC root beer. And I was probably 12 years old when my dad taught me the principle, Tommy, everything you do in your life reflects upon the Lord Jesus. Everything you do in your life, you're responsible for your testimony. Tommy, you sure don't want, you do want to abstain from the appearance of evil. By the way, if you're going to keep a church focused and you're going to keep a church on fire for the Spirit of God, our testimony is important. The Plantation Baptist Church testimony is important. I have a lady in the church. She's not here tonight. She's got this vision of all of us having a bumper sticker with the church on it, like other churches do. And she's designing one right now. There are some of you I'm not giving one to. Right? Right? That's the appearance of that. Okay? Same thing in your life personally. The quenching of the Holy Spirit of God, the continue. Our testimonies are so important. And you can spend a lifetime building your testimony and just destroy it in moments. So I want you to leave here with this Bible challenge. The appearance of evil. Try to kind of concentrate on that in your life tomorrow. The appearance of evil. Lord, I want to abstain from the appearance of evil. And just kind of let that navigate you in your behavior. Let it navigate you in your walk. See if that doesn't kind of curtail you a little bit in your mind. These are things. Despise not prophesying. We need preaching. Test. Be the adult in the room. Prove the things that we hear. Make sure they measure up to the scriptures, to the holiness of God, to the Spirit of God, to the gospel of God, to the deity of Jesus Christ, to what your church believes, and then abstain from all appearance of evil. Shall we pray?